in top five when it comes to theologians and scholars, you know, besides Jesus and the apostles, of course, Augustine would be in there as one of the church's greatest, okay? Incredible scholar. So a lot of the principles we still use to this day. Now, here are his principles of just war that we still use, okay? That we still use, all right? The United States military, I was talking with a general, and he's whose PhD from Harvard was on just war. And he says we still go by Augustine's principles, all right? First, there must be a just cause, all right? Just cause to protect the innocent or one's homeland, okay? Defensive wars or wars that are what we call preemptive, okay, prevent a further evil from happening would be just, all right? So what we're talking about, you know, Iran, who has clearly stated their agenda is to wipe out America and push Israel into the Mediterranean, all right? If they were to gain nuclear weapons and started aiming it at Israel or something, at a preemptive strike would be just. What you see in Korea, okay, how they're developing nuclear warheads, and they've threatened to bomb Guam and Japan and all these countries. Okay, if for some reason they got a hold of one and they are aiming it at Japan or China or Guam, a preemptive strike to take that out would be a just cause, okay? Or if we are attacked, okay, then we have just cause. Second, there must be just intention. The intention is to defeat evil and establish peace, okay? Never revenge, never conquest or economic gain, all right? If we want to go into a land and, you know, take over their oil supply so we can have cheaper oil or whatever, that would not be a just cause, all right? But to secure peace, okay, to destroy a threat of evil and bring about peace, okay, that's a just cause. We went in to Germany, right, to end the threat of Nazi Germany and establish peace there in Europe, okay? Third, war must be a last resort when all other means fail. When negotiations, boycotts, they have all failed, war is your last resort, okay? Fourth, there must be a formal declaration. Since the use of military force is the right of governments, Romans 13, governments can declare war, and there must be a just declaration of war, all right? So the state of war is declared by the highest authorities of the land, which God ordained is government, okay? You look at Old Testament holy war, when they went in, often the city was given a warning to turn and repent, okay? Given an opportunity to surrender. If they would not, then they got wiped out, okay? So there must be a formal declaration, okay? A formal declaration, all right? That we are going to war. Hopefully, they will surrender or say, okay, all right, we'll go back to negotiations. But many times they will not, okay? Fifth, there must be limited objectives, okay? Your goal is to defeat the enemy and establish peace, not to wipe out, okay? And turn the whole country into a desert or something, okay, for 100 years or something. You got to have limited objectives, which is to defeat the enemy and establish peace, all right? Six, there must be only a use of force that is proportionate to attain victory, all right? So you want to attain victory, all right? So the U.S. in bombing Nagasaki and Hiroshima caused Japan to surrender, okay? Now, had the U.S. gone and bombed 20 cities, that might have been disproportionate use, all right? So they only picked two, which they deemed were viable military targets there, okay? All right, so you want proportionate to attain victory. And seventh, civilian casualties are to be limited, okay, or non-combatant immunity. You want to do the best you can to attack military targets and protect civilian life as much as possible, okay? I was with a, where was I? North Carolina, and a lady protesting me about military. She was a pacifist and things, and one of the things I said, what country spends billions of dollars creating laser-guided missiles and things so we can take out the exact target we want to take out, you know? That's why we develop these kinds of laser-guided missiles and, you know, bombs and kind of equipment, because we want to be accurate in what we take out, all right? We don't want to miss and end up bombing civilians, okay? We want to be accurate and make sure we get the military target we're going after, all right? And often, if there are civilians, right, we have to stop the mission or delay, okay, because we're looking to get those military targets or military combatants. We want to limit civilian casualty as much as possible, okay? Now, when it comes to terrorism, you take the principles of just war and you just turn them completely upside down, all right? And that's terrorism. So you're not fighting on the same moral grounds, all right? When you look, I'm not saying everything Israel does is 100% right. But when you look at the PLO and Hezbollah and Hamas and Israel, they're not fighting on morally equivalent grounds here, okay? There's a big difference between terrorism and just war, okay? Now, when it comes to terrorism, okay, in just war, your cause is to protect. In terrorism, your goal is to strike terror, all right? Use of fear and violence against innocent citizens in attempt to influence, okay, public opinion and policy. But your goal is to strike and create societal fear. Second, just war, your intention is to bring about peace. In terrorism, it's to bring about fear. Okay? Fear so that you can make your demands. In just war, use of force is the last resort. When everything fails, then you got to use military force. In terrorism, it's the opposite. You strike first, then you make your demands. Okay? In just war, there's a formal declaration of war given by governments. In terrorism, surprise is the key. It's all about surprise. There's no formal declaration. And it's not given by governments. Okay? It's given by these terrorist organizations. All right? But it's all about surprise. Okay? In just war, there are limited objectives. All right? Military targets only. In terrorism, it's the largest amount of casualties possible. You want to put that bomb in a bus station, in a nightclub, in a restaurant, in a hotel where you can get the most casualties possible. All right? Terrorists don't put a bomb in an empty parking lot and blows up and they say, oh, see, look, we got a bomb now. No, they want to go where they can cause the most casualties possible. Okay? Only appropriate use of force versus in terrorism, you want the weapon that can cause the greatest amount of damage possible. Okay? And number 7, in just war, you want to limit civilian casualties. In terrorism, civilians are the target. All right? Civilians are the target. So, when Hezbollah was launching missiles into Israel, where were they launching the missiles? They were launching them into the resort areas, right? From Lebanon, from Tyre. They were launching them into the resort areas of Israel. In return, what did Israel do? They waited and waited and waited and tried to find where these guys were shooting from. And when they fired back, they fired from where the source of the missile was coming. Okay? Israel wasn't returning and bombing, you know, just wherever in Tyre. They were looking for the targets and trying to hit them. Okay? Whereas Hezbollah was just, okay, just blasting the resort areas, okay, there in Israel. So they weren't fighting on the same moral grounds here, okay? when we were, after we left Israel, there was a terror attack. This is 10 years ago. It was a terror attack at the West Gate in Jerusalem, okay, where terrorists just on a bus, you know, exploded a bomb, okay? Well, he was attacking civilians, okay? Israel, in return, what did they do? Put a bomb on a Palestinian bus? No, they went and tried to find who's responsible and take them out or bring them into jail, bring them to justice, okay? They just didn't go and say, well, 50 people got killed on the bus, so we're going to kill 50 Palestinians. No, they went and tried to find who's responsible, take them out or bring them into justice. So they weren't fighting on the same moral grounds here, okay? So when it comes to 9/11, these were civilian targets, okay, that were taken out. In response, what did the U.S. do? Drop a bunch of bombs on civilians? No. They went there and said, okay, we're going to go after the terrorist organizations. And we do all we can to try and take out military combatants and military targets. Okay? Do we hit them all the time? No. That's part of the fog of war. Okay? But we do our best. So we're not fighting on the same ground, on the same moral grounds, as we are when it comes to terrorism, all right? So that's the difference between just war and terrorism, okay? Take the principles of just war, turn them upside down, and you got terrorism, okay? All right, any questions on that? Yes? Yeah, so we're not, fighting on the same moral grounds, yeah? Not to say everything Israel does is right, but, you know, when it comes to fighting terrorism, that's the difference between those two, yes? Okay. All right. Now, when it comes to combating terrorism, okay, there's two responses. Okay. Bomb them to the Stone Age. Okay. Or pacifism and appeasements. Okay. Well, like I said on my show, that was funny because we had two extremes. One guy said, nuke them till they glow, then shoot them in the dark. And the other guy said, no, love them. Let them bomb us. Don't worry, we have enough, you know. Okay, we had two extremes. I think a balanced approach, okay, using the principles of just war, okay, is the way you deal with terrorism. Now, the question is this. Are terrorists criminals, or are they a foreign enemy of the government? Okay. Well, criminals threaten a state from within. Foreign armies threaten a state from the outside. So terrorists in this case would be which one? I would say they are foreign combatants. Okay? Yeah, they're foreign combatants. We treat them as foreign combatants. Okay? So there were some who were arguing, oh, these terrorists deserve, you know, the right to a trial and, you know, the protection that we would give them as a criminal here in the United States. No, they're foreign combatants. Okay? They've given up that right. All right? So though their country may not claim them, okay, or they may not claim a particular country, they are foreign combatants, and they ought to be treated as military combatants there. Okay? Now, governments are responsible, okay, to promote justice and combat evil. So evildoers should be afraid of governments. Okay? So when terrorists attack a nation, they should be considered not criminals, but foreign soldiers. Okay? And in this case, we can't bring them to justice. We have to bring justice to them. All right? So to take out organizations like this means you have to go to their turf, okay, and take them out. Okay? So military force and strategy should be used to hunt down, capture, and take out these kinds of organizations. Okay? Now, dealing with countries that host terrorists, all right? Well, the U.S. needs to use diplomacy so that it can work within the host countries to root out terrorist organizations. Okay, so we do a lot of working with a lot of these countries in the Middle East to root out their terrorist organizations. Okay, but we've got to make two things clear to nations that harbor terrorists. Okay, they should be captured and punished, the terrorists, as war criminals. Okay, or they should extradite them and have them tried in an international court of law. Okay? When these governments fail to execute justice, then they leave themselves open to the consequences of allowing, okay, a foreign hostile military force to exist within its borders. Okay? And then that gives us a just cause to go in there and take out that organization. So, for example, right, Osama bin Laden was in Pakistan, right? Now, whether Pakistan knew about it or not, that's up for debate, okay? They say they didn't know about it or whatever, okay? All right? That's up for debate, all right? But the U.S. had a just cause in there since that problem wasn't being taken care of by the Pakistani government, right? We had a just cause to go in there and take out Osama bin Laden, okay? Even though we're going into a country that we, you know, were not at war with, they were technically harboring a terrorist or terrorist organization. So we had the right to go in there and take them out, okay? So countries that harbor terrorists need to be warned that if they do not do their part in rooting out those terrorist organizations, other countries will. Okay? All right, that's a little bit of just war and terrorism. Okay? Any questions on what we covered so far? Yes? The organization or the people? Oh, yeah. Yeah, they have given up their citizenship. Yeah, and, you know, they are military combatants. They've given it up, and so, yeah. You know what's interesting, on a side note on that, what is interesting, or not interesting, but disconcerting, is that if you look at a lot of the terrorists that are coming from the West, not only the U.S. or Europe, a lot of them are not born in the Middle East. They're second generation. They grew up in France. They grew up in England. They grew up in the United States. And they get radicalized and they end up carrying out their attack here in the U.S. or going over and joining ISIS or whatever it may be. That is a very disconcerting fact, how these young people are getting radicalized and things. So they're not born in the Middle East. They're born here or in the West. We did a show on why they end up joining ISIS. I forgot what the name of our show was. Why Westerners Join ISIS or something. And that's something very disconcerting. It should be a concern for us here of why they're joining these kind of organizations. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Where it's possible to produce social change, okay, through passive resistance, like Martin Luther King and Gandhi, you know, that's the ideal way to go. When you're dealing with forces of evil, you know, with ideologies that are aggressive and out to destroy, you know, then you're going to have to defeat them militarily, but also defeat the ideology that's behind it as well. So when it came to Islam invading Europe, you know, you have to do what, you know, you have to, you know, Charles Martel defeated them militarily. And it was the great Thomas Aquinas. He's another in the top five. The great Thomas Aquinas, who defeated Islam intellectually. Okay, so you got to do both. So to defeat radical Islam, I'm for, you know, gun ownership or martial arts, okay? But it's always for protection and prevention. Hopefully you'll never have to use either, but in the wicked fallen world we are in, sometimes it's what we got to do, yeah. You own a gun? Oh, no? Oh, okay. Hey, I lived in Texas 20 years, man. Yeah, and I do have a cowboy hat too, so yeah. All right, any others? Okay, very good. Let's close in a word of prayer together, and then next week is what? Oh, Islam. Is that the last one? Oh, okay. Next week we do Islam, okay? All right. Lord, thank you for each one who is here. We pray that we've come to a greater understanding of the just use of force when it is required, that unclear passages and principles would have been cleared up by the things that we study. We know how to pray and what to pray for and when to resist and when to support our governments and when we do have a just cause. We pray that we would have wisdom as we deal with situations like these in explaining our position and to do so with love and respect. We thank you for our time together and we pray that we continue to grow in our wisdom and in our love for you each day. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.